quick. And now I'm like, what's the even? You know, what's the truth here? Okay. So we're going to examine a parable that Jesus spoke to his disciples this morning. Anyone know Jesus? If anyone would know, Jesus taught a lot of parables, which are basically stories. And because sometimes his teaching was considered difficult, he would give them a parable. I think the best way we could describe a parable now is for us to use analogies or similes. You know, we tend to tell a story and we tell it in a different way to let it go down smoother, okay? So that it is not so harsh. You know, when someone in the past would ask, am I big in these, what would you say, do I look big in these clothes or am I overweight? People would say, you are big boned. More of a lighter way of saying yes, right? There's certain times we have situations where Jesus will tell a story in a parable, in an illustration that would help his disciples understand the truth of the matter. And we're going to find that here in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is talking in Matthew chapter 25 about the kingdom of heaven. We know that previously, before this story he tells, he lamented or he mourned over Jerusalem. He cried over Jerusalem. The sin of Jerusalem, the sin of Israel was so great that Jesus himself wept over these people. How many of you know of a leader, a big figure to get emotional over little people? Most of you wouldn't care if you were in leadership position. But Jesus, being the Savior of all, his whole purpose is to save people from their sins, wept and mourned over a nation of people that were against him. So let's begin, and we'll read a little bit and we'll stop here and there. But I will read a little bit of this parable of what we call the 10 virgins. Verse 1 reads this way. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were prudent. So let's stop there. Jesus starts telling this story, and he's telling the story from the context and understanding of the people that are listening. We all know, we spoke about before, that a wedding in ancient Israeli culture and customs was a big deal. It was not something to play around with. A wedding is a serious thing, a serious celebration. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven can be comparable to 10 virgins who are taking their lamps and they're going out to meet with the bridegroom. Now, why does that matter? We will get into that. Jesus is talking about the future kingdom of heaven, the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Messiah. He starts with 10 virgins and a wedding. Understand this. The main characters that we have are the 10 virgins, the bridegroom, and the wedding. Now, as we talked about the wedding before, the wedding in Israel's time, it was divided into three main parts. The first part was the engagement, meaning that it was the arrangement, the talking about, the dealing with of so-and-so wanting to marry so-and-so. There was a conversation that took place between families. It was a talking to about. There was that engagement, it happened. Then there was a betrothal. So this is where the vows are made, the formal agreements have been made, and legally on paper they are married. However, they are not together yet. That's why, if you remember, when Joseph finds out about Mary being with child, the Bible says that he was betrothed to Mary, meaning that legally they were married. They were together. They hadn't been together yet. This is the time where the groom goes out and prepares for his wife a home, okay? Accommodations, furniture, making sure everything is good to go so that when he gets his wife, he brings her into their new home. A lot different than nowadays, right? You don't hear a man saying, I am engaged to be married. I need to make sure that we have our house done and everything is put together so that when my wife comes, all she has to do is move in. That doesn't happen nowadays. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you get the house after you get married, right? But the purpose of all of this, as we talked about in John chapter 3, was that the groom was to prepare everything for the bride to come, including the party and the celebration. That's why the turning the water into wine was such a major deal, because if this bridegroom was to be found out to be ill-prepared, then it could ruin his chances of finishing the wedding ceremony. So as the bridegroom as the betrothal is taking place, it's legally okay on paper, but it is not final yet. The final step is the wedding, the celebration. The groom comes and he gets the bride. All the preparations have been made. He takes the bride into his home. There's a big party going on, and then it lasts about 7 days, maybe even a little bit longer. And then there's obviously consummation, and all of it is over with, done. They are married. They are together. Finished. Okay? Three parts. So what we're talking about in this text is that there is an arranged marriage that is happening. The vows have been set, and now the bride, the virgins, which we will call the bridesmaids, are all now waiting for the bridegroom to come to take them to the wedding celebration. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, it doesn't, I said bridesmaids, they're not the brides. They're like the bridesmaids. They are the women that are with the bride. Like, when girls get married, and then you got all these little, all the women with them that wear the ugly dresses. Yeah, it's the party. They're not the bride. Singular, Jesus is the bridegroom. These are the virgins, not the bride, but they are the virgins. They are the women that are next to the bride. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes, because they all go, this was tradition. They always went out to meet the bridegroom with the bride and go. That was a traditional thing. It wasn't like they were waiting for their husbands. No, they were waiting to come into the party for the final party. Okay? This is a historical thing. This is a cultural thing, okay? Anyone else? Everyone get it? Okay. So we have 10 virgins or bridesmaids in this illustration. They are all prepared and ready for the wedding, for the final wedding, and they are waiting for the bridegroom to come. The women themselves, again, are not getting married, but they are there waiting for the bridegroom to let them in to the wedding feast, the wedding party. What does it say? We see here that five of them were foolish and five were prudent. Verse 3. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flask along with their lamps. The scripture says here that we have a difference between the virgins, the 10 virgins. Five of them were foolish, and five of them were prudent, or better yet, we'll just say wise. Okay? That's what the text means. It means that we have five wise virgins, we have five foolish virgins. Okay? So, the text, Jesus is telling us that. But from the looking of the picture, all of these bridesmaids look the same. There's no difference between any of them. They all look the same. If you have a group of women that are all dressed in beautiful gowns, you would not know one from the other. They all look the same from just sight, just looking. But the Bible here says that there is a difference between two of them, two groups. There's two groups and there's a difference. What were they? One group was wise, one group was foolish. One group did not have extra oil, the other group did have extra oil. We would not be able to tell that. If I give you 10 Mercedes-Benz next to each other, all the same color, all the same interior, when you open up the car, you get the new car smell. You would think they're all the same. However, one doesn't have an engine in it. Two of them have no gas. Okay? One of them doesn't have a battery. And then the fifth one is just a shell. It's really a Ford Pinto under that. But it looks like it's a Mercedes-Benz. So the point that, and I want you to pay attention as to why I'm making this point. Five of the virgins had no oil, extra oil. They were oiled up, but they didn't have extra oil. I have a car that has an E-tank empty, and I have a car that's full of gas. How do I tell which one is which? If I give Jesse the privilege of saying, Jesse, I want you to take one of these cars, pick one of the two, start the engine and drive off and go ahead and drive on over to Las Vegas. But you can't stop once you start. And he picks the empty car with no gas in it. He's not going to get very far, will he? You can't tell. I think that what's funny here is that what we see is we see a similarity. All of them are bridesmaids. All of them are virgins. All of them have lamps. And in the Greek text, it's equivalent to torches. Why is that important? Because normally, historically, in that time, when the bridegroom would get the bridesmaids and the party, it was normally at night and they needed a source to see, a source of light. That's the reason why. It wasn't like the bridegroom was coming first thing in the morning. He normally came at night because after then everything was taking place. The party was about to start and it would start at night. And they didn't have at that time the ability of having street lights, okay, cars with lights, houses with lights where you can be able to see your way around. When it gets dark, it gets dark. So, for the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. So they had oil in their lamps to light them, but they did not have any extra oil, but the prudent, the wise ones, took oil in flask along with their lamps. So we see here that we have 10 women, 5 of them are ready, 5 of them are not. 5 of them are wise enough to bring an extra flask of oil, and 5 of them are not. 5 of them are living for the moment of now, and 5 of them are in preparation for the future. Are you ready? Well, Luan, how do we know? What do you mean? When you say that 5 of them are foolish, how do we know that? We know that because the Bible says that 5 of them were foolish. Well, how do we know they're foolish? We know that they are foolish because they did not bring extra oil. When I would go to Disneyland, I would bring what I call a bladder with me. It is a 3-liter bladder that you fill up with water and is connected to a long straw, and I put that in my backpack. Most of the time I would freeze it the night before, put it in my backpack so that when we're walking around Disneyland, we don't have to spend $18.99 for a bottle of water. If there was ever a time, which is very few because that's normally the starter kit of going to a place like that, if there was ever a situation where I did not have it and we only had the bottle of water, we were not necessarily the best prepared in that situation. These women did not prepare properly, these 5 women, for whatever was going to take place, whatever was going to happen. I trust in you, Jesus, as long as good things are going on. I trust in you, Jesus, as long as you answer my prayer now, not later. I do not have the strength to deal with later. When I was going out and I have the water in my backpack, I know for certain that if anything happens to us, we will not be dehydrated. We will have the water needed to get through the day. And I bring that camel pack with me every time we went, whether it was hot, 120 degrees outside, or whether it was raining, we always had the water just in case. Jamie would pack up a Tums container full of Tums mixed with ibuprofen, just in case. And for those of you that have never had a ibuprofen that's been coated with Tums, you got to experience that. I need a Tums. She opens up the thing, pulls the thing. I need a, not a Tums, but I need a ibuprofen, pulls it out. She got to pick out the ibuprofen because it's all full of Tums. She gets the indigestion. I get the headaches. But we're always ready for whatever may happen. And it may never happen, but we're ready. Verse 5. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. So let's paint the picture here. The bridesmaids, the virgins, are waiting for the bridegroom to come, and as they are waiting in anticipation, they are excited. They're looking forward to him coming. Now they're not excited anymore. They're kind of dying down, and they say, okay, let's sit down. We're waiting. He's coming. He's coming. And before you know it, we start getting sleepy, and we fall asleep waiting on the bridegroom to come because the bridegroom is delayed. Number one, it's not normal. It's not abnormal for us to become drowsy at times, to get sleepy at times. What it says here is it says that all of them became drowsy and fell asleep. What does that further prove? That further proves that the wise virgins and the foolish virgins still all looked and acted and behaved the same. There was no difference. It didn't say that the five foolish fell asleep while the five wise stayed awake. It didn't say that. In anticipation, we get tired sometimes. I would order something on Amazon knowing that it's going to be delivered next day delivery. And you know what I'm talking about. So guess what? Because I'm afraid of porch pirating, I make sure that the day I order it, that I'm home the day it's supposed to come. Now, sometimes my order comes immediately, 9 in the morning. Ding dong, I'm there. But then you wait. And every now and again you get the Amazon person that doesn't want to do their job. And the problem is Amazon will say it's coming tomorrow by 9 p.m. Well, it's 9 a.m. So you find yourself waiting all day. And you get tired. You get frustrated. I've even had situations where I forgot the order was even supposed to come. I said, my order's supposed to come already in here. Yeah, it's 9:45. It still says it's coming. Sometimes we do that. If you've ever lived in an apartment and your manager says we have to do an inspection on your house, we will be there. Please be available. We will be there anywhere between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Guess what? I have a job. I don't have the time to sit around and wait for you guys to show up. Tell me when you'll be there and I'll be there. When I was in the military, we have an inspection. Inspect your uniform, where you live, you know, all that type of stuff. You had to wait for the person to arrive. In anticipation, sometimes you get tired. Guess what? There are times in our lives where we are waiting on the Lord, and He is not moving according to us fast enough. We think that God is obligated to show up and show out when we choose for Him to. I've been praying about this situation, Lord, for a year now, and You haven't answered my prayer yet. You are delayed. And now I find myself falling asleep, waiting. What does it say in Romans? And forgive me for this. In Romans, you don't have to turn there, but you could write it down. In Romans chapter 8, verses 22 and 23, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoptions as sons and redemptions of our bodies." We are waiting on the Lord. And sometimes we may feel like we're falling asleep. You look at the world right now and you say, "Lord, look at all the craziness going on. Where are you?" We're waiting. These bridesmaids are waiting. And as they are waiting for the groom, who is delaying, they fall asleep. Are y'all with me? Are you ready? Just saying. Verse 6. "But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose up and trimmed their lamps." In other words, they're waiting. The Bible says they all woke up. None of them stayed asleep. Which means, again, they all looked the same. They all looked alike. The bridegroom is coming. and they open up and they turn on their lamps. But something happens here. They turn on their lamps. I would like to think that the five foolish ones turned on their lamps and realized that their lamps are not as strong as it once were. That their lamps are running out. These torches are running out of their source. Because in the middle of the night, the time when it's the most quiet, the time when you least expect it, the bridegroom came. Does that sound familiar in Scripture? He comes like a thief in the... Oh, boy. Jesus comes at midnight. He comes at a time that it is not expected. You're not anticipating. You are not ready for him to come. And when he calls, all of the virgins get up. But only half of them have the sufficient oil to turn on their lamps. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout," very similar to the shout that we see in our parable, right? "With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpets of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Isn't that very interesting that Jesus is sharing this story, and the same thing is mentioned in Thessalonians? Just as much as these virgins and this story is being told from a parable, the same thing will happen. Jesus will come from heaven with a shout. Are you ready? The virgins get excited. They're excited now because guess what? He's coming. The bridegroom is coming. He's ready. We're going to start the party. We're going to have the celebration. They jump up. They get ready. They turn their lamps on. But oops, five of them have a problem. They don't have oil. Verse 8. "The foolish said to the prudent, the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" Which means they were able to turn on their lamps. But now they're starting to go out. "But the prudent, the wise, answered, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. But go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourself.'" Now, some people would say that's a very selfish thing. You can't share with me some of your oil? Come on. You know? For those of you that ever had a Walkman, I know most of y'all here are 8-track and records. Anybody ever have a Walkman here? A Walkman. You have one right now, okay. Walkman, Game Boy. Sometimes it requires 4 batteries, and sometimes you have 2 good batteries and 2 bad batteries and put them all together and hopefully it'll last you a little bit longer to play. If you had a Walkman, it normally required 2 batteries. You have 1 battery that's been sitting in the freezer for a couple of days and trying to recharge it up, and you have a good battery, you put them together. You're telling me you can't share the oil? There's 10 of us. 5 of us have enough oil. You can't just give us a little bit so that we can keep our lamps going? Doesn't it seem selfish that these 5 virgins will say no? How many of you think this sounds selfish? Some of you will say, well, they should have been prepared. Yeah, but how often are we prepared? The foolish virgins did not have oil, and their lamps were going out. They didn't have enough to continue. They did not have enough to continue. But they told the wise ones did. And they said, go and buy your oil. Go and purchase your oil from the dealers. So we have 10 virgins preparing to go to the wedding feast, to be comforted in the wedding feast. 5 of them have flask of oil, extra oil, so that they can light their lamps, and 5 don't. They ask, the 5 foolish ones say, hey, give us some of your oil. Some of us would say, well, I'm not going to share that. No way. Some of you say, man, that just seems really selfish. They can give them a little bit just so that everybody can have some to get into the wedding party. Here's my question to you. If you were in a situation where you have your bottle of water and someone says, can I please just have a sip, a little bit of the water, would you let them have some? Yes? How many of you say no? Okay, so let's say they have a cup, and you pour, they have a cup, and they're saying, can I have some water? And you don't have to share the same straw, and same, but you pour it, would you pour a little bit in there for them? Okay, how many of you would not? I'm sorry? It could be life or death. So you're out in the desert, you know, someone, not in the desert, but the person's dehydrated. So we established that no one here would say no. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's COVID or not. I understand we're going to go way into a whole different situation. Everyone, the person comes to you with a cup. So you're just pouring your water into their cup. Would you do that if you had water? Anyone that would not? Well, why am I not surprised? Say again. Take it as the maximum, extreme, worst situation you can imagine. Okay, so we all agree. Okay, so that's fine. That's human nature, right? When people die, people say, oh my gosh, this person was amazing. They were so nice. They would have given you the shirt off their back. Right? Isn't that a normal statement? Right? So it's natural for us to care for one another. These virgins are all together. They've been waiting for the bridegroom for the whole time. I think it makes perfect sense that the virgins would give some of their oil to the foolish ones so that they can get into the party. They all love each other. Unless the oil meant something. They said there's not enough for us and you. Many people have opinions on this matter, and they've had deep discussions about this matter, and to me it's not about us making an overcomplicated situation. Here's my question to any of you. For those of you that would give the water, thank you. I know that that is 100% true, because it was a life or death situation. Now we're talking about eternal state. We're talking about your relationship with God. Here's the thing. My brother Jesse, there is no way in the world that Jesse can pass over his spiritual formation, his salvation, to somebody else. Can't do it. No matter what you may say, you know what, I'm not a Christian, but you know what, my sister is, my husband is, my best friend is, and their salvation, they're so Christian enough, it should get me in too. You are not grandfathered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may have been received the information. You may have received the knowledge, but to have intimacy with Jesus Christ, that is a personal decision that you make. Layla is not saved because of me. I don't say because I'm a Christian, she's a Christian. I'm going to heaven, she's going to heaven because I am a Christian. No, no, no. I cannot pour out my spiritual growth to Scarlett. Scarlett can't pour out her spiritual growth to little Scarlett. It's about your intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ for yourself. And that's why our prayer should always be to our family members that are not in Christ. Does that make sense? So that's why I think it makes sense of why these virgins cannot share their oil with the foolish ones. Would you say that the oil is salvation? I wouldn't go as far as saying that. We could. All we know is that one group was ready and the other group was not. Are you with me? Verse 10. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were what? Are you ready? Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and here's the tragedy. The door was shut. The foolish bridesmaids were living for the now. They were unprepared. They did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They did not have sufficient oil. And when they went out to try to find it, Jesus came. And when he came, he gathered those who were ready with him, and the door is shut. We see an example here of the unexpected nature of our Lord Jesus Christ's return. We don't know when he is coming back. We know he is. Are you ready? I believe that we must be prepared for all times. As I've said this quote before, and I'll say it again, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. We also get an opportunity to see the example between the wise and the foolish. Those that are in Christ and those that aren't. Now, when the door is shut, we see that there's a tragedy that takes place in the situation. The door is shut to those five others. Now, remember what I said beginning about all 10 of these bridesmaids. They all looked, act, talked the same. Meaning that there are people in our, I won't say our church body here, our congregation, there are people that are in the Christian faith that look the part. They are there with you. They're at prayer meetings with you. They're jumping up and down with you. They're raising their hands with you. They're praying with you. They look the part, but they are not in the fold of our Lord. Isn't that scary to think about? Now, why do I say that? Because it doesn't make, other than what Jesus says about the ten, the only difference between the two groups is wise and foolish, oil, no oil. What's the difference between those that are in Christ that are not? Ones that are in Christ, accepting Christ as Savior and Lord, and ones that are not in Christ. Here's the thing, and I'm jumping ahead of myself right now. There is a difference between knowing of Jesus Christ and knowing Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, you don't. So, there is a difference between knowing of Jesus and knowing, ginosko, Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay. So, I'm still not convinced. So, there's a difference between having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and knowing about Jesus. Jesus is my homie. There's a difference. If you have intimacy with Jesus Christ. Ginosko, I know you, as a man knows his wife. The same word. That is the relationship that one must have. That is the wise virgins with the oil. The person that knows about Jesus. Oh, yeah, I know about Jesus. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, so do the demons. The demons know, they know Jesus better than you do. Satan knows Jesus. It doesn't mean he has intimacy and a relationship with him. So once they entered into this party, the door is shut. Shut, locked, not going to be opened again. Verse 11 and 12. Later, the other virgins also came saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Are you ready? See the difference between the ones that are ready, they're the wise ones, they're the ones that were prepared, and the Bible in verse 11 says the others, the other virgins, the other ones, meaning that they were the foolish ones, they were the ones that were not prepared. Some people would argue and say that these foolish virgins went off and was able to get oil, and now they have oil, and they're saying, open up to us. But at this point, it's too late. At this point, it's too late. Do you think, and I hate to talk about it like this, but, you know, it makes me uncomfortable, but I'm going to say it anyway, even though I am very uncomfortable about saying it. You don't think that people that are in hell right now are not preaching and saying to telling us that are living on earth, accept Christ? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess what? Any of you know that verse? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Are you going to accept him now or are you going to have to accept him later? But now the problem is that when you accept him later, you are not accepting him in his rest. You are not saying that Jesus is Lord in his rest. You are saying it in his wrath. Are you ready? I want you to understand this. This is not a parable that is talking about the possibility or the chances that a person could lose their salvation. That's not what this is. I'm not saying, this parable is not saying in any way, shape, or form that a person could be in Christ and lose their salvation and be out of Christ. That would be contradicting God's word because Jesus says, those who the Father give me will never be snatched out of my hand. I'm talking about there was five virgins here that never were in Christ. And there are five virgins that were in Christ. When it comes down to being ready, when we have people that are going to come by the house, and I'm sure all, with the exception of maybe some of you that are just extraordinary, like I don't think Alan can relate to this because his house is extraordinary. But normally, if Willie called me and says, Luan, we're coming over to the house, where are you at? Oh, we're just leaving Oxnard right now. We'll be there in about 2.5 hours. Great. Jamie, light the candle. We got to clean this place up. For those of you that invite people to your house, don't you go the extra effort to make sure that your house is clean? Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Man, that's awesome. Okay? Worst case you could do is somebody knock at your house surprisingly and you're not ready for them. One second, I'm undressed. Place everything's all over the place. And then you spend the first 5 minutes talking about, excuse the house. Excuse my room. Excuse the apartment, right? Be ready. Now, how can we be ready? You talked about all this, Luan. How do I be ready? Number one, you have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He is no longer a person that you know about. He is no longer an acquaintance in your life. He is now Savior of your life. He is your Lord. He is your Master. That's the first one. That's the primary one. Then after that, be in God's Word. You notice there's a key word that's used here for those of you that are Bible study people that come to Bible study. What word is familiar between this text and what we've been going over with Proverbs? Wise. Wise. Wisdom. Well, Luan, how do I know what this wisdom is? I'll give you a hint. There's a book in the Bible that starts with P. Next word is aura. Proverbs. The wisdom of the Lord is in the book. That's why we're going over it. Being in God's Word, having an intimate relationship with Him, that's how you can be ready. You're not going to be perfect at it. We're not going to be perfect at it. We mess up every single day, but we can continue to pursue God in His Word. Just because you understand doesn't mean that you are in Christ. Stolen valor. You can go to the surplus store and buy an army uniform. And you can know the lingo. It does not mean that you are in the military. I was still trying to be pastor appropriate. We went to a Whole Foods store. I ran into a guy that was 100% stolen valor, wearing a Chiefs hat with a little star on it. I saw him and I said, "Hey, Senior, don't you call me that. You call me Chief." For those of you that don't know the Navy ranks, when you are a chief in the Navy, your rank has a USN on it. And normally for chiefs, it's just that. When you are a senior chief, you have a star on top of it. When you are a master chief, you have two stars on each side. So when I called him Senior, that's the name. "What's up, Senior?" He said, "Don't call me that." He wanted me to give him a demotion. "Call me Chief." And I was trying to be nice because, honestly, deep down inside, I really wanted to rip him up. But I had to be respectful for where I was at in Oxnard. And I didn't know if I was going to see this guy again. And plus, Jamie, Layla, and Kara were with me. And I certainly did not want to let this guy have it. He was 100% stolen valor. "Where are you stationed at?" "Oh, I'm not stationed out here." "Oh, where are you stationed at, Senior?" He couldn't tell me. I think he told me March. It's an Air Force base. Dum-dum. So you got the wrong ranks on, and you don't even know where you're stationed at. Stolen valor. But any of you would walk around, you see the guy with the Navy hat, you're talking about "thank you for your service." Didn't realize that the guy was fake. And honestly, it's a felony. Just because you look the part, act the part, make people believe you're the part, doesn't mean that you are in Him. That is so important. And that's the reason why we as a body of believers get deceived by people, is because we think because they say the right words and talk the right talk, and have the right hallelujah, and have the nice little pretty wife stand off the side that's with child, that for some reason they're the perfect example and the moral example of what a Christian is supposed to be. Let me tell you something. It doesn't take that much digging to find out the truth. Jesus said himself, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name did many wonderful works? And I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. Salvation is a gift from God, not from works, so that no man may... Salvation is a gift from God so that no man may boast. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, we see boasting. Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? And in your name did I not cast out demons? And in your name did many wonderful works? You are boasting, and that is not where your salvation comes from. It is a gift from God. And Jesus says, I will say to them, I never ginosko. I never knew you. So you did all those things, and you're not even in my fold. And what you need to do is you need to depart from me, because you're a worker of iniquity. You are a worker of lawlessness. As a song once said, almost doesn't count. So what do we see the difference here? We see a difference between the wise and the unwise. We see a difference between the oil and the no oil. We see a difference of those that are ready compared to those that are not ready. We see the difference of those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. So finally, in chapter verse 13, it says, be on alert. In other words, be awake. Be on guard, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Be ready. Be ready. I'm not saying that you have to be on, you know, you nervous, I don't know what to do. You know, every time somebody moves, I'm, you know, no. Be ready. Take time to spend with the Lord every day. Well, Luan, I'm too busy. I read a book this week called The Ruthless Elimination of Worry. No, of Hurry. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. How we are in such a hurry. We're just so god-awful busy. But that's going to be a sermon for another time. But my point that I was making is take time and spend time with the Lord every day. That's what these Bible read-throughs are. Are we going through Psalms tomorrow? Sit down. I don't care if you don't read the whole Psalm. Read half of it. Pray. Lord, I'm starting my day off with you. Lord, you know, I started my day, but you know what? I got lunchtime. Let me take some time with you. Spend time with God. Even if it's a situation where you spend quiet time with God. Sometimes I can't sleep. Most of the time I can't sleep. A full night I get up in the morning. I get up early. A few hours beforehand, just quiet. No TV, no phone, no nothing. Just quiet time praying to the Lord. Take time and be with your Savior. He wants to spend time with you. You're on the beach. For those of you that don't like a beach, use another place. You're on a beach. Our Lord Jesus is standing there. And when you open up your Bible and when you pray, you spend time with him, it's like he's walking with you in that beach with his hand over your shoulder, and he is teaching you who he is. Not yelling at you, not a drill instructor, not a horrible mean professor, but he is a friend talking to you, sharing his truth to you, the only truth that matters. And once you close that Bible and you stop praying, your session with him is over until the next time. Now, if you do it every day, then every day you're spending time with the Lord. Let's not be in a situation where we keep our Lord waiting. Lord, I'll see you tomorrow. Okay. 3 months later, he's been waiting for you every single day. Now, don't get me wrong. If you kept him waiting for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 8 years, 20 years, when you come back to him, he's not going to say, oh, so where have you been? No. He's going to pick you up right where you left off, and he's going to continue going. But don't leave our Lord waiting. Family, be ready.